Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight we will be reading from the book of Luke. Luke number 19. And we'll be taking just a few verses there as the Lord will be raising some critical matters with us in the passage. Luke number 19. We'll be reading from verses 41 to 44. Luke 19, verses 41 to 44. The word of God read thus. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you especially, in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side. 44, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon one another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. This is a very, very critical issue that Jesus Christ himself is raising. And we'll be looking at the topic, understanding the way of peace. Understanding the way of peace. We can still twist the topic to read, making the most of your time. Making the most of your time. But let's stay with the first one, understanding the way of peace. Whichever way we look at it, you discover that these are the issues, the matters being raised by Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 42, it says, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but they are hidden from your eyes. From this passage, it appears to me that our Lord Jesus, as he was making his final trip to Jerusalem, you know, this was the last trip that he made in his lifetime to Jerusalem. And you remember that before they started off, he had told his disciples that this journey that we are making to Jerusalem will be my final trip. Because right there, I shall be arrested and be delivered to the council. And the verdict will be passed for my execution. And right in Jerusalem, the Son of Man will be crucified. But then, on the third day, he will rise again from the dead. And you remember when he began to talk about his death, the disciples, they began to be sorrowful. They began to feel the pain of separation from Jesus Christ. And he went ahead to tell them that, please don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And all the rest. But as they were about to enter into Jerusalem, he saw the city afar off. And when he saw the city afar off, he was moved with compassion. And the next thing that my Lord Jesus Christ would do was to break down. He broke down. The Bible says he wept. He broke down. He betrayed emotion. And you can imagine what will make the Lord Jesus to weep over the city of God, over the Zion, the city that God himself has chosen to build, I mean, to put his name, to put his presence. He wept. When I try to read this passage from other translations, I became more fearful because it appears to me that the Lord Jesus Christ is raising a very, very serious issue. But the people that were living in Jerusalem at the time that the Lord was weeping, they were busy felicitating. They were busy, you know, fraternizing with one another. They were busy celebrating. They couldn't see what the Lord was seeing. And he actually said it, that what he was seeing that was making him to be crying, to be weeping, had been hidden away from the eyes of these people. And so they were majoring in minor and minoring in major. I read from the New Living Translation Bible, and this is what the Bible says, that, but as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you, of all people, you see now that he's weeping, he's crying. It's not about the walls of Jerusalem. It's about who? The people that are living in Jerusalem. Because he said, how I wish today that you of all people will understand the way to peace. But now it is too late. And peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children within you, and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited. Now, what is going to lead to this monumental destruction? Their refusal to recognize the time of God's visitation. Okay, before we speak further, let's read from Amplified Bible. You know, there are two versions of Amplified Bible now. There's the classic edition, but I'm reading from non-classic edition. It says, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, and the spiritual ignorance of its people. Are you getting to understand it now? Do you understand why Jesus Christ was weeping now? He was weeping over their word, spiritual ignorance. These people appear to be religious. They appear to be busy. They appear to be active, serving God. But when everything they were doing was placed upon the scale, everything did not amount to a single drop of spirituality. Everything was just mere religion. You need to read further into verse 45. You know, when he entered the temple, were they not in the temple? they were in the temple. The temple was filled up to capacity. What were they doing? Prayer, they refused to pray. The teaching of the word, that has been pushed aside. So they have set tables to be what? Foreign exchange. They have all kinds of foreign currencies, such that as you come from any part of the country, you know, the Jews, they were scattered abroad. So anytime they return to Jerusalem for any of the feasts, whatever currency of the nation you came with, you will have it in the local currency. There were money changers. That was what they turned the temple into. Religious activities. So he wept for their spiritual ignorance, saying, if only you had known on this day of salvation, even you, the things which make for peace and on which peace depends. But now they have been hidden from your eyes, for a time of siege is coming when your enemies will put up a barricade with pointed stakes against you and surround you with armies and hem you in one and help you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground, you Jerusalem and your children within you. They will not leave in you one stone on another, all because you did not come progressively to recognize from observation and personal experience the time of your visitation, when God was gracious towards you and offered you salvation. Quickly, let's look at some of the issues that Jesus raised in this passage. The first issue that he raised has to do with your day. I see Jesus Christ speaking pointedly. He said, if you had known, he was very, very particular. He was not talking to generality of the people. He knew the people he was talking to. If you had known, even you, especially in this your day. I see here that the Lord is saying that you have a day allocated to you. I have a day allocated to me. We have a day as a church allocated to us. And this day that we have, that has been given to us, given to you, is for a purpose. A purpose to fulfill. A purpose to pursue. No, first and foremost, a purpose to recognize. And a purpose to pursue and fulfill. Failure to recognize it, we mean that I will not be able to pursue it. And what I do not pursue, I can never possess. So he said, in this your day. So you have a day. And I later discover that I was given a day, whereas enemies were given days. Did you see it in your Bible? Look at verse 43. For days will come upon you. For days will come upon you. Now, another issue about your day is that the day that you have, the day that I have, the day that we have as a church, it's not going to last forever. The day is momentary. It is temporal. And that is why it is called day. How many hours are there in a day? Only 12 hours. And you know, my Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 9, he said, I must do the work of him that sent me. Why? It is what? It is the day, for the night cometh when no man shall be able to walk. Meaning that it is only in your day you could walk. Only in the day you could go anywhere you want to go. Only in the day you have every opportunity to prepare against the days that are coming. So failure to prepare for the days that are coming will mean that when those days come, I will be caught unawares. That is the second issue about the day. Now, before we look at the second thing that he raised, very similar. He was talking about the time of visitation. Day, your day, then your time. What is the day? The day, the word day, actually could mean different things. For instance, the day could mean the interval of light, the interval of time between successive lights. You know, there are two lights. We have the sun that governs the world, the day, and the moon that governs the night. So the interval of time between the appearance of the sunlight and the appearance of the moonlight is called the day. And the interval of time between the moonlight and the sunlight is also called what? It's also called the night. And they are all 12 hours. Okay? That's one definition of the day. The time between sunrise and sunset. The day could also mean the portion of a day allotted to you. The portion of a day allotted to you. It could also mean a particular period on which something's occur. For instance, you say, the day I met you, the day I got married, the day we had our first child. We are talking about a particular period on which something spectacular, something unforgettable occurred. You can say the day I had accident, okay? And the day could also mean a period of undefined length marked by certain characteristics. A period of undefined length marked by certain characteristics, such as the day of small things. Do not despise the day of small things. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. The day of perplexity, the day of distress, as written in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 11. Or you can say the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, whatever, okay? And finally, it could also mean a period of opportunity. And that is where we are going. The day we are talking about here, we are not talking about the interval between the sunrise and the sunset. We are talking about a period of opportunity that is given to you to serve God or to occupy a particular position. So that period will not be forever. Maybe or maybe not, that Pastor Lawa knew then that he was only given a period of what? 25 years. If you ask me now, I don't know a period that God has allotted to me to be here. And that is why I labor as if tomorrow will no longer be here. And I still work as if in the next 100 years we'll still be here. A period of opportunity. That is your day. You have an opportunity. You have a period to be a father. You have a period to be a mother. A time is coming that you will also be given another opportunity to be a grandfather, to be a grandmother. You have an opportunity, a period that was given to you to be in that office, maybe as the chief technical officer, the chief executive officer, the managing director. You have a period of time given to you to be a principal or a class teacher in that class. A period given to you to facilitate, serve the master. Do you remember that? Or do you know that if you are facilitating a discipleship class in a particular diet, can you expect to have the same people come again in the next diet if you are not doing master life? So meaning that period, you have those number of people coming to you. That is your day to affect their lives. You may not meet them again the next diet. They will go to another class and be under another teacher. A period of opportunity, a window of opportunity for service or to accomplish a particular purpose or observance. And we are talking about the day to understand the things that make for your peace. What is peace that we are talking about here? The peace that we are talking about here is not absence of troubles. It's not absence of disaster. But we are talking about the time that the time of freedom from all the distresses, anxiety, worry, fear, agitation that are experienced as the result of sin. You know, all over the world now, peace has become a scarce commodity. Every part of the world has been infected with one degree of violence, disaster, calamity, or whatever. Where there are no political unrest, there are religious insurgents. Where there are no religious insurgents, there are natural disasters. So there is factually any place in the world that is peaceful. So the peace, the time of peace, can also be the time of experiencing the divine presence that guarantees your security, your safety, your prosperity, your happiness in this world that is filled with chaos and calamities. So there is a particular day that God has allotted to you to experience peace, to have peace, to enjoy peace. And when that peace is given to you, the peace is given to you, the salvation is given to you to accomplish a purpose. And if that purpose is unaccomplished, you have failed God. So, he now says that after the day, the period given to you, given to me, given to us as a church, said that period will soon be over. And when the period is over, days will not come. So those days will no longer be for me again. I will no longer be in charge of those days again. I'm only given the charge of the day. But the days that will come, after all, will now be under the full control of the enemies. And there is no way for me to escape. He says, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment. Embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side. The enemies also have a purpose to accomplish. The purpose they will accomplish is to bring down everything that I have put together. Everything that I've labored to put together during the day given to me, the enemy will come to scatter everywhere. The enemy will come to bring everything down. Jesus now raised another issue in verse 44. Said, they will leave you in. They will leave in you one stone. They will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Now, the issue of time, let's quickly look at that. There are also different words that were translated in time in the New Testament Bible. But in this particular one, the time that we are talking about here is not a space of time, whether short or long, no. It is not a time that is talking about due measure or due proportion. That is a fixed or definite period. Okay, sorry. The time that we are talking about here is actually talking about what? About a definite period, a fixed period, a definite season. It's talking about a season, Kairos, not Kronos. The one Kronos is the one they use to make the time, the watch that we are using. We are not talking about the hour between 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock. No, we are talking about Kairos, that is a definite period, a season. So there is a season that has been given for us to experience divine visitation. It is when we make the most of that time, of that season, of that day, that definite period, that definite season, to experience divine visitation that we will escape the days of the enemy. The enemies are bound to come. But I will be able to escape from the embankment, from the opera of the enemies when they come, if I make the most of the days, of the day, for me to experience divine visitation. Now, in the case of Jerusalem, while Jesus Christ was weeping, at that time, the religious hierarchy, they concern themselves with activities and not spirituality. That was why Jesus Christ wept. He wept. He wept. He wept over the city of Jerusalem because the city of Jerusalem at that time has been caught up in the affairs of this world and religious heresy. They have been caught up in the affairs of this world. Jerusalem is now romancing with the world. Jerusalem has forgotten the purpose why God built her. And the people that were living in Jerusalem have also forgotten the purpose why God chose them to be his own treasured possession. Instead of them to concentrate their attention on God, they were romancing with the world. And their romance with the world has now developed, has now made them to develop all kinds of theology, all kinds of religious practices. There have been a lot of compromise that has entered into the temple. That was why people could come and set their table to be doing foreign exchange, and nobody will be able to watch. Nobody will be able to be able to correct them. The time they're supposed to be spending in hour of prayer, they are using it to exchange money, and nobody cared about that. The time they're supposed to be using studying the word of God, they have started to expend those time on frivolities, and they were enjoying all of those things. So their heads were full of knowledge, but their heart was empty of the experience of God. At that time, again, the religious hierarchy of leadership, they have rejected the word of God. The word of God has become by the way in the temple. They did not only reject the word of God, even the Son of God that was sent to be the Redeemer, to be the Savior of the world, what did they do to him? They rejected him. They said, Son of Carpenter. Even though everything pointed to the fact that the Savior would be born, that a virgin would be with a child, and Jesus Christ came through the Virgin Mary, It was also said that the Savior will come from Bethlehem. Jesus Christ came from Bethlehem. There were enough convincing proofs, undeniable evidences that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Savior of the world. But the Pharisees, they rejected him. They rejected him. They preferred their tradition. They preferred their legalism, do's and don'ts, to what? To the real word of God. When the word of God came, they were still arguing with the word of God. And because of that, when the Lord was in their midst, they couldn't recognize him. You need to see what the Bible says in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 11. For you to understand what we are talking about. John chapter 1 verse 11. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. They would not allow him to do anything. Anytime he performed any miracles, instead of them to celebrate, what would they be doing? They would now begin to raise a lot of theological arguments. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful to do this? Is it lawful to do that? So they were concerned about the letters of the law more than the word, the spirit of the law. They were not ready to practice what the law says. They were only teaching it. And because of that, they missed the visitation of the Lord when he was in their midst. Beloved, do you know that what Jesus Christ said, that the days of the enemy will come, those days came. And actually, they were no more. The time Jesus Christ spoke and the time that word came to pass was just a period of 40 years. At this time, it was about 29 AD. And by AD 70, Titus, the Roman general, invaded Jerusalem. And when he saw that by assault, he would not be able to capture Jerusalem, what did he do? He surrendered, he laid siege around Jerusalem, such that nobody would be able to go out and nobody would be able to come in. So all the supplies were cut off. So Jerusalem began to experience famine. Now, can a man that is hungry, can he fight a battle? It was after he had impoverished them. It was after he has left them to suffer hunger. Then he now began to destroy the city. Beloved, do you also know that the present world that we are chasing, the present world that we think will not end, do you realize that this world is actually at the verge of destruction? If you don't know now. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. From verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the hearth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being of fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And when you look into 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, from verse 15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, how many things? All things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, everything that our flesh lusts after, Everything that my body we want to have, everything that my body we want to put on, want to spray, we want to paint, we want to do everything, all the things that my body lost after. And even the lust of the eyes, everything that my eyes love to behold. You know, Solomon said, everything that my eyes saw, I refused to deny it. I made sure that I got it for him. Listen to what the Bible says. And even the pride of life, all of those things, I say, ah. You know, sometimes some people, when they buy a new car, you know, the way they display it, they are proud of that car. Everything that we are proud of, the houses that we are proud of, this edifice that we are proud of, aren't we proud of this edifice? We are proud of it. Everything that we are proud of, he said, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Maybe you still don't understand. Can we look to Revelation chapter 21? Chapter 21. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has done what? Had passed away. This earth will pass away. This world will fade away. Everything that is in it. If you don't know that they will fade away, you go to some part of Lagos that were high brow in those days. Go to Suleri. You see all those big houses. Nobody is there again. They are putting them for sale. And some people will come, they will demolish it. We have even gone too far. Maybe we have a house here that we have bought, that we also bought and we demolished. That's how everything in this world will be demolished one day. The fire will come and burn everything. Because the millennial reign is going to happen on this earth. But we are not going to make use of anything in this world. Everything in this present world will vanish away. Since I still have about 5 minutes, let's quickly look at an example of a man who did not make the most of the time that he had to pursue peace. Who missed the hour of divine visitation. And let's see what happened to him. We'll have looked at about 2 examples, but for the space of time. So let's look at this man quickly. Daniel chapter 5. He was given every opportunity to seek God, to know God, and to serve the purpose of God. He had every privilege, but he chose not to. I would love for you to please listen attentively as we read. We'll read the word of God, because there may not be enough time to give some explanation. But when you listen, you will get the message. Chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords. Who was he? He was a king. Not just a king, he was an emperor, because he was over a kingdom. He was in charge of all the nations of the world at that time. He succeeded his father Nebuchadnezzar. God has decided to give the kingdoms of the whole world into the hand of to Nebuchadnezzar. So when Nebuchadnezzar died, his son took over from him. So do you see the opportunity he had now? He had the opportunity to lead the whole world to worship God. Because he was the king. Whatever he said, that was the final. So he made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Are you noticing the opportunity that he had, the day that he was given, that all the things that they used to worship God, his father has brought them from Jerusalem, from the temple Jerusalem, and he was in charge. Everything was under his control. So he had every opportunity to serve God. And he's the king. Whatever he decided to do, nobody will question him. If he says, throughout this day, it is worship, it is Bible study, it is prayer, nobody will query him. Everybody will listen to him. But did you see what he used the time for? He was using the time to what? To drink wine. He was using the time to organize feast, party. You know, in our days, people will not be in a hurry on Saturday at the wedding reception. Do people hurry to leave the reception? Even when they travel, they won't mind if they return to Lagos at the midnight. But 2 hour service on Sunday, they'll be looking at their time. A time is coming that it's not a cause. So you will want to go to church. There will be no time again to go to church. You want to listen to Bible study. Sorry. You will be too old to go to church. You will desire that we come and conduct Bible study for you at home. Say, sorry, we have this. As I was about to come, and that person came. So this man, he had the opportunity. But instead of maximizing the opportunity to seek God, to know God, to serve the purpose of God, he was just enjoying himself. Then they brought the gold vessels. He commanded, and they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. Are you seeing what he's using the articles in the house of God for? They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. Do you know the name of that God? The name of that God is Mammon, the God of materialism, the God of material possession, that we want you to want to have everything. Have everything, have everything. Even after they have looted the entire country, they still want to loot more. Even when they do not know where to keep the money again, they could not go to the bank to keep the money. They are keeping the money under the ground. They are keeping the money on the storage tank as if there is water there. Foolishness. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thought troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. He became troubled. Look at verse 9. He was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lust were astonished. Look at verse 10. The queen, because of the words of the king and his laws, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the Holy God. And in the days of your father, in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, blah, blah. So in verse 13, they sent for Daniel. They brought Daniel in. Now listen, for the space of time, let's jump to verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. This man had promised to give Daniel everything. But Daniel, he knew the time. He knew the day, that the day that he had was not for him to be acquire material things. He did not want to repeat the mistake of Gehazi. He chose to go the way of Elisha. He said, have your things. We don't take things from unbelievers. That's what I want. The first thing I want you to see there. O king, verse 18, the Most High, God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was ardent in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. Now listen to verse 22. Very, very instructive. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, although you knew all this. You knew the history, that there is no one that loved this world, remained in the world forever. You knew by history that there is no man that raises his heart against God, survived God. You knew all these things. How come you did not apply your heart to wisdom? How come you refuse to learn from history, even though you know history? All these things are not hidden from you. But why did you decide to go the way of the wicked? And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand. That's his thought I want you to see there. Where's your breath? In the hand of God. Do you know that if God decides to call me home now, you'll just me falling down and that will be the end. Doctor and co, they will bring the nebulizer, they will do everything. I've gone. The owner of the breath has taken the breath. He has taken the breath because it belongs to him. So now that you know that your breath, your life, is not in your hand, it's not in the abundance of, it's not in the abundance of the possession that you have. Your breath is in the hand of God. Why are you not seeking God? Why are you not devoting your time to serve God? Why are you using all the opportunities, all the things, the privileges that God has given you to draw you closer to himself? Why are you using them to satisfy self? To satisfy this body that will later be called, they have brought his remains. Is that not what we say? They have brought his remains. Even if you are the one that owns all the houses in Ikoyi, what will be the portion that you are going to put your remains? We may decide to build you duplex at Ikoyi Guardian Fort. We will know, nobody will bring you to live among the living again. The God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upasim. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. He has numbered your kingdom. He has numbered your days. He has finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the maze and patience. I pray this will not be your end in Jesus' name. So before your day will be over. Before your day will be over. Don't miss this moment of divine visitation. Acknowledge Jesus. Know Jesus. And use everything that Jesus has given you to serve his purpose. It was written concerning David in the book of Acts of the Apostles when Stephen was giving his account, when he was defending the faith. When he was talking about David, he said that man, he served the purpose of God in his generation. Whose purpose are you serving? Whose mandate are you pursuing? All the things that you have, do you see now that everything was given to you in mercy? There is nothing that you have that God has not given to you. Did you see what God was saying concerning Nebuchadnezzar? That Nebuchadnezzar thought that it was by his military prowess, it was by his wisdom, it was by his influence that he had everything. No, God gave it to him. God gave him the kingdoms. God gave him the nations. God gave him the peoples. God gave him all the languages of the heart. And the purpose is that he may pursue God and lead them to God and use everything for God. But his heart lifted up and God humbled him. Do you see that the way God humbled Nebuchadnezzar was even better than that of his son? And why did God choose to go that way for his son? The reason is, for Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't have direct history to relate with. But for Belshazzar, he knew. And the Bible says, unto him who knows how to do good and refuses to do it, unto him shall be what? Counted as sin. And the Bible says, the soul that sins shall die. That was why this man died. Brethren, before your day is over, do what the Bible says. Finally, in Hosea chapter 10, can you give it to me? Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, as we go to pray now. Hosea 10, 12. Hosea 10, 12. Sow for yourselves what? Righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Bow your head and let us pray. Sow for yourself righteousness. In this your day, sow for yourself righteousness. Reap in mercy. Before your day will be over. The moment your day is over, it is over. The next thing for you is to be put on the scale. It is what you have, what you are able to do now in your day that will count in your favor after the day is over. I put it to you now that if you are to be put on the scale today, what do you think your own scale will weigh? You know, God is a just God. There is no unrighteousness with him. There is no injustice with him. There is no partiality with him. No nepotism. No tribalism. Sometimes we overlook some people and say, let them graduate. Let's graduate him. But for God, If you refuse to serve him, to sow for yourself now righteousness, you have no mercy to reap. If now that you are in your day, you refuse to break your fallow ground. Do you know a fallow ground? A fallow ground is a land that has been left untilled, uncultivated for many years. Such land, they grow thorns, they grow, they become hard, they become unwelcome to seed that can bring life. Fallow ground. What are your fallow grounds? The Lord said, break them today. Break them. Break your fallow ground. What are the things you have acquired or that God has given you and you think they are for you and for yourself alone? The Lord says it is time to release them for the service of God. That young boy who gave his lunch to Jesus Christ on that day. Do you know that up to today we are still talking about that boy? Mary of Bethany that gave his perfume to Jesus, that poured a perfume on Jesus. Do you know that up to today we are still talking about Mary and her perfume? After this your day, what will heaven say about you and what heaven has given to you? What will the heavens say? What will be the heaven's commendation? What will be the heaven's attestation about you after your day on earth is over? Say, sow for yourself. This is the time to sow. The time to sow. In order for you to reap in abundance. Said, when he comes, he will rain righteousness. He will rain righteousness on you. It is only those who have the righteousness of God that will be welcomed into eternal home. Anyone that does not have the righteousness of God, he will tell them, I do not know you. Go away from me, you worker of iniquity. I want us to look inward. Let's look inward. How have you been faring in your Christian life? All the opportunities that God has given you, and even as a church, all the opportunities that God has given us. You remember how many men that have came out of this church to become governors of different states in Nigeria. What investment did we put in them? And how did they fear in government when they were there? This church has several men who are captains of industries, who are in the top echelon of the civil service. Those are the opportunities that we have to influence things in Nigeria, to change Nigeria. I see that God has a great deposit of men to change Nigeria in this assembly. But what are they doing? Only one Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Four of them, they converted a whole empire. They maximized the opportunity. They maximized their own day. And that was why, if you look at the last verse of the book of Daniel, chapter 12, the last verse of chapter 12, God told Daniel, said, you, go and rest. Go and rest. We will awake you on the last day and you will receive your inheritance. You go and rest. That is what God does for every man who faithfully serve him, who faithfully pursue him while he's on earth. The period that you have now, what are you using the period for? To fight? Fight over position, fight over things. Things that will not last. And you refuse to break your fallow ground. You refuse to sow for yourself righteousness. Beloved, I want us to look into our lives critically this evening. As a church, the Lord is confronting us. As an individual, God is confronting us. As families, God is confronting us. That with all that I've given to you as a church, all the articles of gold, articles of silver, God is talking about men and women that has the capacity to call the shot of things in Nigeria. Not only in Nigeria, we have people that are highly influential in the continent, even in the world. God is asking, of what benefit are they to my kingdom? God is asking you too, as an individual. God is asking your family that all that God has given to you, this day that God has given to you, what are you doing? What are you doing with the day? Say, days are coming, no? That the enemies, the days of the enemy, the days that the enemy will come, they will build an embankment around you. You will not be able to escape. Will you begin to pray? Lord, everything that is hiding you from my eyes, everything that is hiding opportunities to invest into God's kingdom from my eyes, Lord, I refuse to allow them to blind me again. Every blindfolding of the world.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org. We look forward to having you back next week.